Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. I want to talk about, well, we've been talking about narcissism on social media. We, the developers, trainers, mentors of KI, you may have noticed that there's that word a lot if you see us. And that's because that's what most people on social media, when we share, that they resonate with most. Truthfully, we're responding because we can, with repression, you can take it in any direction. Repression is the root of a lot of different suffering. So, you know, we can talk about, I mean, I had, you know, healing of chronic pain. Other people report depression, anxiety, all sorts of things, relationship issues. So it's like, where do you start? But we started and we started talking about a lot of things. And I mean, I can't say you guys, but social media generally taught us that if we don't share in a language that you understand and resonate with, you won't listen. I mean, some of you will, but most of you won't. So we have to find those topics that work. And this is one of them. And we totally understand why it works, because there's research, there is science. It's good. Plenty of it to know that at the root of narcissism, whether it's diagnosable or not, is emotional repression. But that's because repression is at the root of most suffering. It's great that we can connect with you all, or people in social media, on this topic. But personally, the reason I like it, let me tell you some background, is, well, it's the science, for one thing. See, when I went to research the connection between repression and the suffering that produces, but also the connection between emotional repression and what we were doing in spirituality, what I used to do as a teacher, focusing on presence and why that was such a bypass. Because in non-dual and a lot of presence teachings, you talk about ego or the separate self. You could say whatever separate self belief system or sense of separation. But the science isn't studying that. So when I went to study, I couldn't find the links. I could see that the science was definitely studying anxiety, depression, chronic pain, all these different forms of suffering that you see in doctors' offices and therapists. And it reminded me of how much pharmaceutical companies are driving things. Because we don't, these diagnoses are distracting us. But if you go deep enough, even inquiry to me is into consciousness. And then if you go into science, they reflect each other. If the science is accurate, and if your skills in your body are accurate. So I was looking for what I was finding in my body. I was finding emotional repression, you know, anger repression, turning into chronic pain. I had already read Dr. Sarno's book, and I'd already seen the connection and developed most of KI, but I wanted to see what the science was saying. It was definitely confirming Dr. Sarno, and I think confirming Freud, because Freud's basic conclusion was emotional repression produces suffering. But I wanted to dig deep into it. And, you know, I just realized there's no pharmaceutical company who's going to fund, or whoever funds, studies the ego or the separate self. It's such a vague thing anyway, you know. Like the more you really do your own work and truly see through the separation, the more you realize these concepts are about as good as we can get. But narcissism isn't that much more of a pointer, but it's a topic that the scientists have picked up on. Because guess why? Because you can go into a therapist's office and there's a diagnosis for narcissistic personality disorder. So it's something they can use to diagnose and treat. But if you look at it, it's actually ego. Now, see, there's a form of ego that they've pathologized, they've turned it into, which is fine, because probably should be. But, you know, where's that line between the ego and all of us, which is, if you think of it this way, from a KI perspective, it's the fear that we carry in our bodies, we've carried since childhood, of certain emotions that we've buried. We're trying to get our needs met by holding these emotions back, and then we identify with something false. So we hold back what's true. This is the narcissism. It's ego. Hold back what's true. Don't even know we're holding it back. And so we therefore really believe what's false. what comes up and tells us who we are, what we have to be conditioned to believe about ourselves to survive as what? A separate self. That's what non-duality uses it, or awakening teachers talk about it that way. But in terms of getting to the real root of the ego, the non-dual and awakening, the Eastern practices aren't good at it because they miss buried emotions which don't arise to awareness. The science, however, the scientists are not experientialists. I mean, for the most part, they're studying, you know, from the mind conceptually, but they're at least using a scientific method. And they're finding that, again, at the root of narcissism is emotional repression. Now, there may even be science, but we know it here in KI, that grandiose narcissism, so-called, which is itself not really a diagnosis so much as a label on a kind of narcissism, a kind of ego that has a real inflated sense of self. So it's like overcompensating, you know, so like we used to call it in my old style of inquiry. Like we feel at the very core, there's this deep insecurity, but we now know it's repression of emotion. It's repression of hurt and sadness that lies at the core of grandiosity. Because hurt and sadness are vulnerable emotions. Grandiosity is the opposite. It's like big, or I'm okay, strong. Even people with hurt and sadness repression will refer sometimes to hurt and sadness, those emotions, as weak. They don't feel them. And so when others feel them, their systems, which protect themselves from feeling that, might have like a shadow towards those people. Like, oh, you're so dramatic, hear people. And so they can feel like bullies. See that? My bullies. And I understand now that my bully, who I grew up to think of as a narcissist, or at least a bully, he wasn't. He was a big kid who was a hurt and sadness repressor, who in order to deal with that insecurity, he would externalize towards weakness. That was his shadow, so he would pick on me. I was an anger repressor, plus a little gay kid, so I was the perfect target. Therefore, I grew up like so many anger repressors who were victimized by angry dads and, you know, asshole bullies, as somebody who would, I was good, peaceful. I wasn't like that. I have to be small. I can't be angry like that. I can't be big. I can't be confident. Certainly can't be arrogant like that. See, that's a shadow of mine and many of us anger repressors. We grow up victims of that, so we internalize that anger. We hold that big energy back, and then we have this shadow towards, and we often get entangled with the hurt and sadness repressor. See, who's really, many hurt and sadness repressors are not diagnosably narcissistic, but anger repressors mistakenly label hurt and sadness repressors, who are really just afraid, not any more manipulative than any other ego, as narcissists, almost as if they have an intention to hurt, but they don't, because even a hurt or sadness repressor, they can't feel that hurt. So they have conditioning that says, I can't feel it, but I also need their love, like someone close to them. But if a trigger happens, they have to hurt you, because if you hurt them, they might have to feel that and express that. And they don't know this is going on for them. And this is why it can be challenging to be in a relationship with a hurt and sadness repressor. But now imagine somebody whose parents, not only is a child a hurt and sadness repressor, but you have parents who say things like this. Well, you can do no wrong, honey. You're better than the other kids. Don't you worry about that. We'll get you something. You don't have to worry, but don't cry. Here. No, there's no need to be up. Don't worry. We'll take care of everything. You know, just totally coddling in some way. And so you have a hurt and sadness repressor who really, as my friend Mark Vicente said, calcifies around that emotion. But then something else happens. It's like mom and dad, because of their stuff, add to it. Maybe that's the reason the kid is a hurt and sadness repressor. But there's, you know, mom and dad just piling on. by the time the kid's 20, looks like a narcissist. And you could say, well, he is, or she is. But at the root of it, of the grandiosity, or the big energy, is a vulnerability that was never felt and never, this is not an emotion that hurt. So hurt and sadness repressors, they might have some memory of like tears that they had to choke back or hurt. But for the most part, there's a calcification, as he says, around that. And you think an anger repressor does the same thing around anger. And when I was in that interviewing Mark Vicente, we were talking about that. And yeah, I want to tell you this story. This is good. Well, just go listen to the podcast, but I want to pull out a certain part of it so you'll go listen to it. Mark is very wise for someone who, I don't think he's done KI yet, but he's just been in the world and been through a lot and just has a depth of insight. Surprising, given that he's not done work. Well, he's done work, but not KI. And so I taught KI and he's like, he gets it. That's why I had him on as a guest. But he's really taken on, he might even say from his own repression, I'm sure he said that, because we all do, when we take people on, come from our trauma, the grandiose type. You know, I'm not going to mention the teachers that he's, you know, talked about, or he's doing some documentaries and things that'll come out and he can't talk about it, but it'll be pretty shocking. He was involved with the, I think it's HBO, the documentary The Vow, around the group Nexium. And it's been a while since I watched it. It's well put together. Anyway, in his efforts to kind of highlight and film people who have that more grandiose narcissism, with his audience, I think he also experienced that there's narcissism on both sides. This is really trauma. If you think about it, consciousness is just, and for the most part, split in half. It's duality. And on the one side of the spectrum, you've got, like on the right side, if you visualize it, a continuum that runs right to left. On the right side, you have the overt, grandiose ego, which we'll call, you know, narcissism. And that would include malignancy in its more extreme forms and other overt, so we'll call it overt on the right side. You can see it. It's on the outside, externalized. It's, what is it? It can be anger. It can be big energy, even controlling, even can appear manipulating. And with malignancy, it can even be like, no, I want to manipulate people. It's like fully like that, identified with it. But at the heart of all of that on the right side is the repression of the vulnerability, the vulnerable emotions. And this is what you don't know until you do repression work. Now shift all the way to the left side, you've got anger repression. So that's a kind of quote-unquote ego or narcissism that is covert. So in other words, the anger is buried, the bigness is buried, and so one identifies with small, or let's be peaceful, let's be good, let's be kind, let's be empathetic, and it imposes that even on the other shadow. And so the shadows are fighting each other, and each thinks the other is right or wrong. And then we go into politics, and you've got a lot of anger repressors in the covert liberal side. You've got a lot of hurt and sadness repressors on the conservative side. They're fighting each other there. And in personal relationships, because we're drawn to each other in this duality, and we don't process our buried emotions, we always will. And there will be duality and misunderstanding. But when you process your emotions here, you see that you're all of it. You finally see it, and then you feel well-balanced and like the full range of emotions are available. And you see why you got caught up in it all and why you were suffering. Is because, you know, you, like me, you sat somewhere on that continuum and you thought that's who you were. And I've been saying that, like, why am I mentioning anger repression since I'm talking really about grandiosity? Because you will never see an anger repressor who's a grandiose narcissist. So why am I talking about it? Because we fall in love with the big energy, we anger repressors. We follow the teachers who were charismatic, positive. They talk about universal, everything is perfect. Do you know why they talk about that? Because it's a version of the grandiosity. It's just, it's not even narcissism. It's like, if you have to hold back something that feels true for you from a very early age, like something vulnerable, then you have to identify with something false. We're forced into it. So whatever on that's on that right side of that spectrum, people are forced into it because of the calcification around that vulnerability. And everybody on the left side is forced into that false identity. I'm good. I'm not like the narcissist across the thing. That's a duality. Yeah, you're just like that person, but you buried it. You buried the anger. And so now you have this covert, and I had it too, of like, it's just it's too good for your own good. It's like goody two-shoes. Aren't you something special? Please, self-righteous brat. That's who I was. You know? And there's no real humility on the covert side. It's all false humility. Daddy issues, authority issues, anything big, bad wolf issues, anything that's big. So we have our own sort of like falseness on the covert side. And I'll tell you why I'm mentioning it here, even though this is about grandiosity, is because, well, they play into each other. But we're attracted to the grandiosity. And if we would just own we become dependent on or with, we're either trying to fix, change, and save the hurt and saddest repressor, or we're following them like they're the next cult leader or president. Think about it. And so we can't make clear decisions about anything as long as we're driven by buried emotions. But this side of the coin that I came from, the left, and I don't mean it that way, but it's coincidentally, yeah, the left, is a lot of victim consciousness and righteousness, self-righteousness. Yeah, a lot of it. And that's the liberal. A lot of liberals are like that. They don't process their trauma and they're out to get dad, but they call it Trump. Or, you know, Trump has his own issues. You can see that he's an archetype on the right. I'm not saying he's a narcissist. I'm saying we all are. He's got hurt and saddest repression, and he's pretty calcified around vulnerability. Because I heard him say, me? Weak? No, I'm not weak. I'll never appear weak. And then I think he talked about like possibly like fighting or bombing someone right after that. Very typical kind of, you know, bravado there. But we have all that. I have that in me. I discovered that. I have that fuck you, fuck off, I don't give a fuck what you think in me. That much. And then I also have this part that was always in me that is the loving, empathetic kind that could sit there, and if you would express any vulnerable emotion, I'd be like, oh, you know, I'm hooked in. I think I love you, especially if you're a guy. Just don't get angry at me. You know, here's what I want to say about it all. Whether we are anger repressors who are codependent, chasing or trying to fix the hurt and sadness repressor, whether we call them a grandiose narcissist or not, or whatever we call them, because we have our labels for them. If we will do our own work, we don't have to worry about that anymore, because on this issue of narcissism, if let's switch back over to the right side, the grandiose side for a moment. To me, yeah, we should have, if therapists think that we should have a diagnosis for narcissistic personality disorder, that's their domain. I have nothing to say about that. We don't diagnose or treat disease. We don't even agree with the diagnoses or agree with the idea of diagnoses. To do that within KI would be a landing. To do that at therapy will just get you therapy. We don't agree or disagree ultimately. We're just saying this, that if you put all that aside, and just talk about being human, this is a spiritual path. The grandiose part, if somebody really were a grandiose narcissist, whatever that might be, to me, the first test before you talk about the signs and symptoms is, are you open to look at that? And if somebody's not really open, then that's like, why would you go further? Because that tells you a lot right there. Now, the person could be afraid to look at the trauma. I understand that. But if they're creating suffering in their life, if they're being false with people, if they have a supply of people, if we do that, then we're acting narcissistically and refusing to look at it. And see, we can hide it as like, I'm a peaceful non-dual teacher and say, well, you know, narcissism, that's a concept. I understand there's some really bad people out there, blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, seriously, that's not freedom. That's not awakeness. That's not anything. That's not transformation. You have Gandhi in you and you have Hitler in you. That's what Ken Wilber says, and I completely agree. Or I would say like Hitler and some, I guess Gandhi. The point is people say, well, I want to be Gandhi. Yeah, because you're an anger repressor, or because you repress, you have, look, Gandhi, if he were a real person, would have to deal with the buried anger. Now, maybe Gandhi had an awakening or something, but there have been a lot of people who've helped people throughout history, Ma included, and a lot of teachers, helpers, nurses, doctors, therapists, the list goes on, who were codependent anger repressors, who didn't even know they were driven by buried rage. I was one of them. So to sit there and paint Gandhi, if we have to paint Gandhi as this ideal, then let's put somebody else there. Put me there, because I used to represent, not like Gandhi, but like the peaceful non-dual teacher, or put someone else there so you don't, you have to see the narcissism on both sides. And if you can't see it on one of the sides, that's the side you need to work on. So if you keep putting someone on the peaceful side and you say, no, I want to be like that, there's something to look at, because like Ken Wilber says, we have Hitler and Gandhi in us. And those are shadows, and shadows come from emotional repression. So whatever you don't want to be is what you bury, and what you present to people or really, really want to be is the falseness. And so in your life, even if you're not, you know, Hitler, if you've got people around you and you're being false with them to get your needs met from childhood, but you don't know what those needs are, and when they don't go along with it, you get new people, aka supply, then that makes you a human, that makes you have an ego, that makes you narcissistic. And that makes you someone like me that just needs to look at it, you know, instead of being on social media. Like I did that once, as I used to, if I pick on anyone now, it's everyone, including myself. You know, I had covert narcissism, buried anger. I mean, my God, I was the spiritual teacher who appeared peaceful and good publicly. It wasn't like I went home and beat my wife. Like that would be like a typical kind of covert narcissist. But I would appear one way to people, and then in my body, I'm calcified around anger. And my covert narcissism, my falseness was, I have to be good and peaceful. My supply of people were people who came to my work. So yeah, I pick on everybody, because we all have it. It's not picking on. It's just, can we just be honest? But people feel like it. They're like, oh, well, she would not talk about that. And I say, look, if you get a trigger, look at it. What are you doing? If anything bothers you like that, to make other people responsible for your emotions isn't safe or healthy. Just look at your own stuff. I'm not saying anything. There are so many people more offending you than me. But what I can do is it can threaten someone's spiritual path. I know that, because there's a lot of Gandhis that may be listening right now who don't want to be, including Hitler. And that's why you're going to keep suffering. But what I talk to you about is this. Many of you who repress anger, you're open, at least to look inward. And that's why eventually you'll become open to look at your buried anger, which creates the covert narcissism. That I have to be good, peaceful, have to be still, quiet, calm at the surface, coming from buried anger. Someday you'll be open if you're not already. And that openness takes you through the threshold so that you're not really going to stay in that covert narcissism. But in the meantime, I would say, get your claws out of the grandiosity, because all you're doing is making the world worse. You don't realize it. Before I go back to grandiosity, those of you who repress anger, you're like me. You've got these shadows for the big energy, the Trumps of the world, all those people. And a lot of it is trauma coming from you, all of your pain. And you're bringing a lot of suffering into the world from buried rage, and you don't know it. So it's one thing to be refusing to look at your buried anger and wanting to appear peaceful and good and all that, but to then be shadowed and triggered and find enemies everywhere and big bad wolves and think you want peace in the world, that's pretty manipulative. And I was one of you, so I know. But I'm not pushing you in to process your trauma. I'm just saying take a look, because we've got skeletons in the closet, all of us. Now, back to the grandiosity. My bully was big, physically big, energetically big, aggressive. When he got angry, he punched. And we were all friends with him because we were scared of him. And that's kind of, you know, how it was like I would be attracted to bad boys later. I'd be scared of them. I became addicted to BDSM. It's like, where can I find the really big bad boy who I can be really scared of and then turned on with? Because I had sex with my bully after all the bullying. So I kind of know this territory of like enmeshing with my shadow, and then just a life of avoidance then, and seeing all these, the separation that I had created to stay safe from the emotions I was too afraid to feel during all that. And I didn't know that. So I was doing the same thing you guys are doing, is creating suffering from that peaceful facade, or that I have to be good, or I'm out there fighting the good fight. I know it, but it's the lion inside appearing as a lamb. And then on the right side, the grandiosity is the lion. My bully was the lion, but it's like, where's the lamb? Where's your heart? Why are you picking on me because I have empathy? Why is that a bad thing? And then I became identified with the empathy because it was the only thing, I couldn't get angry. And I was empathetic. As I got older, it's like now I'm the empathetic one, and then there's all these big bad wolves out there. Anyone with big energy, and the list goes on, all these grandiose so-called people like the bully, the abuser, but just the loud guy on TV, the confident guy, the bad boy, all these archetypes, authority, that's a shadow for anger repressors. But when you take anger repressors out of it and you just look at them, or if they look at themselves, if a hurt and sadness repressor on the right side of that spectrum would look at themselves, or even narcissists on that side is same as this side. It's like there are some anger repressors who are really covertly narcissistic because they refuse to look at it and they're getting something out of it and deceiving people. And to the degree that they do that and are unaware of it and unwilling to look at it, they can call it narcissism. On the other end of the spectrum, it's people who repress hurt and sadness. That doesn't make them a narcissist, but there are narcissists on that side. There's grandiosity on that side. What makes it that way? Not willing to look at the hurt and sadness repression? Just getting something out of that? See, manipulating people. But both sides are guilty of it. The left side tries to play innocent and shadow stuff to the right side. Both sides have work to do. See, what we need to do is stop. We need to leave anger repressors who are codependent anyway, need to leave the hurt and sadness repressors alone and stop calling them a narcissist. Stop calling them names and get to our buried anger. And then those of you who are hurt and sadness repressors, if you're here or anywhere doing your inner work, you don't have to worry about being a grandiose narcissist, in my view. I'm not diagnosing you. I'm just saying my test on narcissism on either side of the spectrum is, are you open to look at that? Because we all have it. And if you can't pass that first test, I'm not going to be in a relationship with you. If you have no interest, because you'll shout, whoever you are, whether you repress anger and you're covertly shadowing out to anybody who gets angry, if I get angry at you, but you won't own what you're part of it. Or if you're a hurt and sadness repressor who comes at me with your big energy and you don't want to look at any of that, I'm conscious enough to know that's a no now. But I had to find the narcissist in me. So if a hurt and sadness repressor, even if somebody's called them a grandiose narcissist, is open to go within, in my book, that's the first step out of narcissism, the kind that we all have. And then in my view, the people who will not look on either side, but here I'm just talking about grandiose energy, that, okay, for that, we might take that therapist if they'll go, but many of them won't do that either. But that's not something that I even concern myself with. I don't concern myself with the extreme forms of covert and overt narcissism. Those people don't come to this work. So I think that a lot of people that come to this work, they are open to look. But you guys, sometimes, and people in social media, you get fixated on your shadows. See, and I'm just here to say, it's all in you. It's the Gandhi and Hitler. It's all in you. And until you not just see it, but feel it and live it, you'll keep suffering. Which means if you're somebody who has big energy, I don't even want to touch whether it's grandiose narcissism. The word itself is, do you mean it's not important in the end. If you are identified with big energy or being dominating or tough or strong, or and you have to bury, if you have to hold back the vulnerability, which is what's true for you, and you have to identify with what's false like that, and you're open to look, there's a way out of that. Because I was on the other side. I was holding back the anger. That was what was true for me as a kid, but I couldn't feel it. And so I was forced to identify with what's false. And here's another thing is, see, on the right side, on the overt side, they can't show empathy. I have to say that to every anger repressor. See, because anger repressors, we identify with empathy. It's safe. We feel it. It keeps us safe because we can monitor other people and their anger. But then if we look at somebody who doesn't feel safe to express empathy, not because they're a narcissist per se, but because it's not safe to feel and express hurt, sadness, or empathy because it's too close to those emotions. I want you to be really more compassionate as anger repressors, because you guys are so quick, like I was, to like, the first person that you meet who doesn't show empathy, narcissist or something, there's nothing wrong with them. They just had to bury certain emotions. And, you know, people are going around, especially on the left side, the covert anger repressors, like taunting compassion. And it's a false compassion, because I used to be that way. It's like you don't see people, you don't take the time to see them. And a lot of us anger repressors, we lump a lot of people into that narcissist or bad boy or asshole or whatever, and that just keeps us safe. But on the other end, on the grandiose side, y'all have your work to do, because you are difficult to be in close relationship with. I mean, I know that you're afraid. Many of you don't know that you repress vulnerable emotions. I don't think that gives you a pass. I think it's time to educate yourselves, because it's time for all of us, unless we want to keep suffering, to own what we've buried. It is so challenging for someone who's lived their whole life with big energy to start feeling into vulnerability. They can't feel it. It takes specific skill on either side of the spectrum to get to this. I didn't even talk about this until I did repression inquiry. I couldn't. I'm talking about it now because I know that people can't see it, some of this. And I want you to remember also that the empathy thing, yes, a malignant narcissist, whatever that might be, or a grandiose narcissist, would not show empathy. Of course, neither would a psychopath. All of those people, you could say, have no access to vulnerability. But neither does somebody who just has a big personality, who could be a little bit tough every now and then, but they're not a narcissist. And they can't really show empathy, but they have that in common with a grandiose narcissist or someone that you might see that way. It's not the same. It really isn't the same. And we have to stop shadowing that on them, because that can keep people from looking at their own stuff. If people start to believe they're a narcissist when they're not, it's such a distraction. When they're not a diagnosable one, when it just keeps us safe from looking at the repression that drives our narcissism, all of us. And that's what I mean, is that really narcissism is unconsciousness. One of the very convenient shadows that I hear out there from anger repressors, their very covert shadow, is like the essentially hurt and saddest repressor is intentionally manipulating me, consciously even. What human beings do you know that believe in separation are conscious? They're not. No, but most people, unless they don't have any emotions, like a psychopath, are not that conscious. And psychopaths are not conscious, but they don't have to sit there and worry about self-consciousness. I mean, they don't have anxiety in the same way about their thoughts. And so, but the rest of us do, you know, except for a few things like psychopathy. And so don't misread people by not doing your own work. Because if you don't do your own work, we're designed to misread people and believe in separation. It's how we survive. But if you really want to end suffering, you'll get to the root of our narcissism. And so, grandiose narcissists, when you look at somebody, I want you to think to yourself, is that a grandiose narcissist? Or is he just hurt and afraid? It'll change your way of looking at people. But that won't be enough, because you still have to do your own work until you can own the narcissist within. That's to you anger repressors who repress anger, until you can own the anger and the big energy. And for those who feel like they're on the grandiose side, until you can feel into and express, that's an important part, the vulnerability, you're going to stay stuck or calcified around that repression. I've got a link in the, well, description that can take you to two places. One is the group, the KI group mentorship. Well, it's actually a jump starter group. A lot of people are coming. It's so much fun. I'm loving every day of it. It's a whole month of mentorship with three group sessions where you learn KI in a month. I'm actually surprisingly enjoying that, because I don't really love groups with repression inquiry, or I didn't in the past. I really like one-on-one, but this group is, because I'm doing it differently, it's working better. I also have, though, what I really do favor in that link is that's a link to come and talk to me for free if you're interested in my 90-day one-on-one intensive. I favor that because that's what Dan and I did together. Is we just kind of were really involved in each other's life for a period of time, a year. It was transformative for both of us, and I've wanted to do that with one-on-one, and that's what the 90-day intensive is for people who are ready. But it has to be a mutual fit to really dive deep like that. I really open myself up, even more than I do here. You see all the sides of me. And that's what makes a good mentor or teacher, I've learned. So if you're interested in that, let's both decide. Come talk to me for free. Thank you. Take care.